I think the countdown's finished, so I'll do a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning and welcome. It is great to see you all here on this third Sunday in Advent. Getting a bit closer now. Certainly a bit more excitement in the air. No snow yet. We'll see what the next week or so brings. But it's great to be here in the presence of God to take the time and remember the real reason why we celebrate Advent. And we'll be doing that in our service today. Notices. Have to give some notices. Right, I've got six notices to give. They're going to go in chronological order, and five of them relate to today, I think. So the first one is, in chronological order, at the end of the service, you'll probably end up going out this way here, and you'll go past the church Christmas card. Do please sign the church Christmas card. It's been fantastically made by Amy, and we'd love you also not only to sign the card, but also to give a donation. All the donations will go to John Huntingdon Food Bank, so a great local charity there. There is a sum up machine in this cashless age that we live in as well, so please do give towards that. As you then continue your route into the lounge, you would normally get your cup of tea and coffee, right? Now we have a bit of a problem in that we don't actually have anybody on coffee duty today. So that, oh, it's sorted, okay. We do have people on coffee today, so we will be able to enjoy and meet over a cup of fare afterwards. As we move into the day, in the afternoon, we have the travelling nativity as part of Open Spaces. That will be at 3 o'clock. Love as many people to come as possible. We'll be meeting at the Memorial Hall. Should be take less than an hour to do, walking through the village. We're going to be ending here while there'll be some refreshments as well. So come and join that, particularly. Be great to see as many families as possible. And then in this evening, we've got our prayer meeting, which will be at the usual time of 8 o'clock. The Zoom details are in the link. Please do join for that. And then two more notices. First one, next week and the week after, we get into this sort of Christmas period where rotas and things get a little bit kind of up in the air. Some people go away to family, other people come and visit us. It will be brilliant if you are anticipating you will be coming with family, particularly with children who will potentially need child provision and kids club. Please do let either Penny or Diana know, just so that we know how many kids to cater for. That would be really helpful. So if you have family and friends visiting that you know about for Christmas Eve and the Sunday after that, New Year's Eve, please do let Diana or Penny know. And finally, a notice about January. Who's thinking about January already? I can't say I am, but we will be having our prayer week, and that is the best way that you can start a new year, is in a week of prayer. I think we can all of us who have taken part in previous prayer weeks can testify to that. There is a sign-up sheet in the lounge, and encourage you to start planning on the right footing and put your name down for not just one, but two or three or four slots. Okay, notice is done. Now we come to the lighting of the Advent candles, and we've got three illustrious guests with us. We've got Paul, Kathy and Leslie who are going to come, so I'd invite you, if you can come up and join me. What we're going to do is we're going to light each candle, and then after the lighting of each candle we are going to say a piece of liturgy, which is going to come up on the screens behind. So Kathy, would you like to be the first person to light a candle?
I'll do that if you like, if I can work with things.
Go on, I back you. That's it. And obviously not the central one, but go for one of the two front ones. That would be great. That's it. It's harder than it looks. We can do it. It did work 5 minutes ago, so I'm... That's it. You're getting that. Give it another... Do you want me to give it a go if you're... There you go. It is hanging on. Can you do it? Okay. Is there enough there? Is it gone? Let's see if this one's going to go. I think it's children and animals they talk about, isn't it? You should never work with, but fire, obviously, kind of. What do you reckon?
Right, let's do that.
Should we do it together? Oh dear. Right. I think Diana's off to get the matches. So. Right, here we go.
Oh, another one.
Strike three, you go
try
first.
Again.
Yes. David, could we have the liturgy on the screen? That'd be fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, I'll say the bits not in bold, and you, everyone join in for the bits in bold. As we light our Advent candle, light of the world, shine on us. As we prepare for Christmas time,
light of the world, shine on us.
Right. Paul, over to you. In this world of pain and darkness,
light of the world, shine through us.
To all the people who don't know you,
light of the world, shine through us.
Have you got it? There you go. Jesus, you are coming again.
Light of the world, light the way.
In our service here today,
light of the world, light the way.
Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you.
We made it. Now we hand over to Charlotte, who's going to lead us in our worship.
And we'll worship our Lord together.
Generate have been singing in schools probably over 100 times already this term, so they will be very much have it stuck in their head. It has 7 verses, but for the sake of getting home before tea time, I hope you'll excuse us that we've missed out Zechariah and Mary because we have spoken of them on the last 2 weeks. Then when you get to the chorusy bit, there are some actions that you may like to join in with. So it's hallelujah, hallelujah, which is like a shoulder twizzle, and then lift your arms. You're not alone. And for that, you need to bring your finger out from behind your hand and put it in front and shake your head. You're not alone, the angels say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're not alone, the angels say. So I hope you hope you'll enjoy it, and it'll probably be stuck in your head for a long time.
Good morning, everyone. We should say Merry Christmas. Yes, I suppose so, although it's not quite Christmas yet. But it's still exciting. Yes, it is. What are we doing today? Well, as we work our way through Advent, we've been thinking about the Christmas story from the perspective of different characters. And today we are going to hear Joseph's story. That's a good story. Was he related to Chris Smith? Is that why Chris is telling the story later? Why do you think he is related to Chris Smith? They have the same surname. What? I'm confused. It seems a straightforward connection to you. Joe Smith? Chris Smith? It's the same name. Are they related? Now I understand the confusion. But it's not me who is confused. The person we are thinking about today is not Joe Smith. It's Joseph. 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 Yes. Not Joe Smith. No, his name is Joseph. Is he Joseph Christmas then? No. Where do you come up with all these ideas? He was married to Mary, and she is Mary Christmas. That's why we keep saying Merry Christmas. Is that a joke? But seriously, did Joseph have another name? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that. Only that he was named Joseph. But if he did have another name, perhaps he was Joseph the Carpenter. That's a bit mundane. Well, it may seem mundane and ordinary, and to many people, Joseph may seem insignificant in the Christmas story. But he had a vital role to play. He had responsibility for caring for Jesus and bringing him up. Joseph had to listen to God, and he needed to be obedient to what God told him through dreams of angels. Did you know that to keep his family safe, he ended up becoming a refugee in Egypt with Mary and the infant Jesus? You didn't know that. He could have been known as Joseph the Foreigner or Joseph from Bethlehem. Yes, and perhaps he was. You think you'd like to have another name, do you? And what do you think it could be? You could be Clive Baker or Clive MasterChef. Perhaps you could be Clive Cake Eater. Or maybe you could be Clive Orangutan. But whatever name we call you, remember that you are known and loved. And so are you. God knows your name and he loves you too. And that's why Jesus came, to show us how much we are loved. And that's why Christmas is such a special time. It is. And may God's blessings rest on all of you over this Christmas time. And we hope to see you again soon. Goodbye.
So, the children are going to leave us now, but before they do, we're going to pray a blessing on them. Father God, we just thank you for these children. We thank you for the joy that they bring. We thank you for the joy that you give them. Pray that as they leave now and as they have their classes in the hall, that you will fill that time with joy and love and excitement as they learn more about you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. I'm going to read some sentences of people and groups of people that we want to think about and lift to God in prayer. So I'll read it and then we'll pause. Lord, as we prepare for the coming of your Son, we pray for those who are in need. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the poor and the oppressed. We pray for those who are struggling with addiction, depression, and anxiety. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. We pray for those who are victims of war, violence, and injustice. We pray for those who are hungry, homeless, and without hope. We pray for those who are in positions of power and influence, that they may use their authority to promote peace, justice, and the common good. We pray for ourselves, that we may be faithful disciples of your Son, and that we may be instruments of your peace and love in the world. In a beautiful but broken world, full of so much good yet so much evil, so much joy yet so much sorrow, we bring you, Lord, our prayers. Where hardship has crushed the spirit, poverty, injustice, or disease having destroyed faith in the future, Lord Jesus Christ, may your love bring light. Where war and suffering scar your world, hatred, greed, and intolerance erupting into violence, Lord Jesus Christ, may your love bring light. Where disaster has brought devastation, flood, famine, earthquake, and hurricane shattering lives, Lord Jesus Christ, may your love bring light. Where hearts are closed to you and others, doubt, fear, and prejudice creating alienation, Lord Jesus Christ, may your love bring light. Come to our world, Lord, and heal its wounds, shining in the darkness and restoring joy, faith, hope, and love. Lord Jesus Christ, may your love bring light. Amen. So before we move on to our next song, I just want to pick up some of the words that we sang a little while ago. If I can find it in here. The song we sang, the angels say, It says, oh yes, verse 7, last verse. Sharing Christmas stories, both human and divine. We are going to hear a story now, which is a human story, but also has an element of the divine. This is a very special day for Leslie, so I'm going to invite Leslie to come up and share a little bit of her story and give a bit of her testimony. Thank you, Leslie.
The 17th of December, 1961, was the day I was baptised at a church in Woodford Green, which I was attending, had been for a couple of years. My family had moved there from Leytonstone. My parents also, we went as a family to this church. I'd committed my life to Christ at the age of 9, having at that time decided that I would definitely wanted to continue in the faith which I'd grown up with. But shortly before my 14th birthday, I decided that I wanted to confirm my faith publicly and follow the command of Jesus by being baptised. A series of classes was arranged, and any others who wanted to consider baptism were invited to attend. And at the end of this, several young people asked for baptism, and a service was arranged for this date. From this time onwards, I committed to follow Jesus wherever he would lead me. Fortunately for me, within a few years, he led me to meet Derek, and we have now been serving the Lord together for 55 years in a number of different ways and in different places. As I look back over these 62 years since my baptism, I see that God has used me in ways which I could never have imagined. Truly it is the case that, as it says in Ephesians, God is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. When I came to Great Shelford 31 years ago, I was in a dark place. But thanks to the prayers and nurture of other Christians, including many from this church, I was once again able to experience God's light and prove the truth spoken by Paul. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My active role in the church had come to an end, but far from it. I praise God that he still chooses to use me in his service, both in and out of the church. Even in the weakness of older age, I can continue to serve him. I would encourage any of you sitting in front of me or watching online, if you have committed yourself to following Jesus but have not yet been baptized, to give this serious consideration. My baptism marked a new stage in my Christian life, as I had now publicly declared my faith and followed the command of Jesus.
Thank you so much, Leslie. What a wonderful day for you, and thank you for sharing that with us. Very special. Well, do stand if you're able to, and we'll continue in our work together.
Come, Lord Jesus. Is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Penny. And good morning again. Great to be with you today. Let's get myself organised. I've got a whole load of music in here, so if I don't get the right page, I'll be singing How Great Thou Art to you. I think sermon may be better. So today we are continuing our series focusing on the main characters in the Nativity and Christmas story. And today we are looking at Joseph. This is the story of a local lad who got together with a local girl. Who would have thought that they, from a backwater in Israel, would go on to change history? In fact, if you were to put money, if you were a betting person, and you were to put money on who the movers and shakers were in Israel at that time, I can assure you, you wouldn't have given them a second thought. As Diana said, they couldn't have been more ordinary, and yet this is the story of how the ordinary came to become extraordinary. Joseph's contribution to history and also society as one of the first foster fathers puts him in a unique place and makes him actually increasingly relatable to parts of society now. In the last 30 years, we've had a 50% increase in the number of foster families in the UK. We also got over 1 million step families in the UK, and Joseph suddenly becomes relatable to them in a different way. But before we begin, I want to start with a quiz. Were you listening carefully? Don't worry, it wasn't about the passage we've got to that we've just read. This is a quiz where I'm going to give you a short piece of a picture of a famous landmark or item. All you need to do is tell me what it is. Not that hard, is it? Collective brain power in this room, I don't have any trouble at all. Does anyone tell me what this is, there you go, start nice and easy, get you in. There you go, it's the Eiffel Tower on Paris. Next one gets a little bit harder. I'd like to hazard a guess what this is. The Golden Gate Bridge in, does anyone say where? San Francisco, there it is in all its beauty. Next one. What did you say, Helen? Is it King's College? It is, well done. Excellent, in our very own Cambridge. Ooh. The Great Shelford logo, there you go. You won't forget that one now that you've seen it. And the last one may be a little bit more tricky. Anyone guesses on this one? It's actually very good. It's a very good. For those eagle-eyed, the picture you've been looking at is actually this gentleman's hand. I can't tell you this is Joseph, but this is just someone who looks like he's doing carpentry things in the Middle East. Why do I show you that? I show you that because quite often in the Bible, we get a snippet of a character and we are left. Our minds yearn to fill in the gaps and the details as to what is missing in Scripture. And Joseph, for me, is one of those characters. We read and we see a little bit and we wonder about the bits that we don't see. Joseph is actually mentioned 13 times by name in the Gospels. I think four are in our passage today. But the Gospels are frustratingly short of detail. We don't know when he was born. We can hazard a guess by the dates of when Jesus was thought to have been born. We don't know what happened to him. You know, how did he die? How did he live? The last mention of him in the Gospel is when Jesus was 12, going to the temple. A lot of the tradition in the church, certainly the Protestant church, is that he died before Jesus started his ministry, certainly before Jesus died. But we don't know. Other traditions hold that he lived to an old age. What did he look like? You know, he wasn't Jesus' biological father, but was there a resemblance in any way? What did he like to do when he wasn't working in his carpentry trade? What would those conversations in the house look like? And you just wonder, and we wonder, what kind of father would he have been? But whilst there's lots that we would love to know and we don't know, there are some things that Scripture do tell us. And when you start digging, it's a reasonable amount of Joseph. We know that his name means he will add, so it's a name that defines blessing. We know in his ancestry, whilst I say the gospel is frustratingly lacking in detail, when you look at his ancestry, the genealogy of Jesus going down to Joseph is given twice in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. It's actually different. So that's one place where we're almost given too much information because now we've got a discrepancy. And you know, theories on that, I won't go into the details, but there are theories about the royal descent versus the biological descent of Jesus. We can chat about that later. We know that in Nazareth, we know he was a carpenter. That was a classic blue-collar job back in that day. And we know that Jesus was trained in the work of carpentry as he grew up. He was the husband of Mary. Did they have other children? Again, as I think Richard covered this last week in his sermon. We believe as Protestants as he does. Not all Christians do. Catholics have a different tradition. And in terms of family life, I've mentioned he was one of the first foster fathers. And to keep his family safe, he had to become a refugee, as Diana said in the Clive video. He was poor. We can understand that from the circumstances of Jesus' birth. Also understand it from the sacrifices they gave in the later chapters of the Gospels. Birds being the allowance for people without much wealth as opposed to the more expensive animals. You often wonder why, if he was being asked to go back to Bethlehem, why didn't he go and stay with his family? If he was from them, the expectation was there would have been family there. Was there an element of disowning because of what was happening with Mary and the perceived adultery? Again, there's a gap there where scripture is silent. But I want to focus a bit on Joseph's personality beyond the fact file, because I think there are some character traits that are very worthy to follow. He was merciful. Because of the perceived adultery of Mary, he could have, according to Old Testament laws, he could have had her stoned. He didn't. Actually, he went further than that. He was gracious, because following the dream that's mentioned in our passage today, he took Mary as his wife. He was a merciful and he was a gracious man. And in our story today, he was a man who dreamt dreams. We read the first of those dreams today. And I wonder, after the angel had told Joseph to take Mary home, I wonder what his thoughts were as he woke up from that dream. I wonder what the conversation was that he had with Mary. Because he provided hospitality and sanctuary to his apparently unfaithful fiancé, and to the son that he knew would not be biologically his. And he knew, therefore, it would cost him his reputation. But he trusted God. He trusted God. He was just, says that in the passage today. He was just, often a phrase used to describe true believers. He was self-controlled and he was pure. It says he had no union with Mary until after Jesus was born. How we need self-control and purity in our society today. He was conscientious towards government. He followed the law and went back to Bethlehem to be registered. He was also careful to keep God's law. When Jesus was born, they fulfilled all of the necessary Jewish rites. And he was resourceful. There was no room for them in the inn, but he found a place for the baby to be born. And the bit that I didn't know until I started researching this is, if you look in the second chapter of Matthew, verse 11, it talks about the Magi coming to visit. Traditionally, the Magi didn't come on the night of Jesus' birth, but came sometime afterwards. And it says they went to see him, see the family in a house, which shows that Joseph had managed to provide for his family in some way. But there's one more thing. Because that's the physical side. On the spiritual side, Joseph was instrumental in fulfilling some of the prophecies of Jesus. These are prophecies including that he would be of the line of David. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would come from Egypt and he would live in Nazareth. These are prophecies that the earthly Jesus was way too young to be able to influence in any way. How did Joseph become instrumental in that? Well, God spoke to him four times in a dream, three times by angels. Do you know, in the Bible, there are 21 dreams, I believe, listed. And Joseph, we read about today, comes top of the pile in terms of the number of dreams that are recorded. His namesake in Genesis, second place, or joint second. And in fact, one of the other of the 21 dreams is very close to the passage we read today. You may remember the Magi, when they visited, were warned in a dream to return to their country by another route. So four dreams that Joseph had. Firstly, to take Mary as his wife. Then he had a dream to flee to Egypt in the second chapter of Matthew. Then there was a dream to return to Israel. And finally, a dream to avoid Judea. And in each case, what was Joseph's response? In today's passage, when the angel told him to take Mary as his wife, not to be afraid to do so, he did as the angel commanded. When he was told to flee to Egypt, he rose and took the child and his mother by night. When the angel said to return to Israel, he rose and took the child and his mother. And when he was warned to avoid Judea, he withdrew and settled in Galilee. Interestingly, each time there was a dream, God called for an action. Now, in Joseph's case, the sum total of these four dreams was he ended up with a wife, a child, and probably only over 300 miles walked. Now, that's not necessarily typical for the dreams that you or I might have, but each time there was an action, Joseph obeyed. And furthermore, he wasn't procrastinating. Look at that second one. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night. There was an urgency there. He was quick to obey. See, the combination of God speaking and human action is potent. In fact, it's history making. And I wonder if Joseph hadn't have obeyed, listened and obeyed the first one of those dreams, I bet you probably the other ones wouldn't have happened. You see, the more we listen and we recognize the voice of God, and the more we are obedient to it, the more we will hear again, and the more we can be obedient again. And that cycle that goes around is how we can walk in the path that he has for your life and for my life. And yet, it's easy to read the nativity story and think actually everything was quite easy. But Joseph had a difficult calling. He was poor. He became a refugee. And yet he was just a local lad from the backwater of Israel. Following God and following Jesus is not a key to an easy life, but is the key to life. And Joseph had a choice. He had a choice to quietly hold Mary and Jesus at a distance, keep that turmoil at arm's length, or to take a step of faith, to open his home, to share his time, to spend his life with them. Joseph's discernment and his obedience to God's word is his story. And by it, he secured his place in history. Not for his glory, but for the baby Jesus. And just as Joseph secured his place in history, you might think that you're quite ordinary. Maybe you feel like you're just a local person from the backwater of South Cambridgeshire or wherever you're from. Hopefully this story gives you courage that God can use you. The key is to listen and then to obey. Because there are things that God's calling you to do. Whether you feel young, whether you feel old, there are still things that he is calling you to do. God's plan for you is unique. It is the best plan in the world. So amidst the business and the busyness of life this Advent, are you taking the time to listen to God? And the more we listen to God, the more we recognize the voice of God. And if you've heard from God, are you obeying? Maybe right to make sure, do our checks and balances, that whatever God is speaking to us is alignment in scripture. And it's always good to talk to other people. But once you've heard, are you obeying? Because I think Joseph would encourage you to have the courage to obey, to make the commitment to welcome others in, to show them love, as it said in the song earlier, a different kind of family, but the same kind of love. What does that look like for you this Christmas, no matter the cost? Let's pray. I'm just going to give a period of quiet just for people to reflect in their own time, in their own way, just for 1 minute, and then I'll pray. Father God, thank you that you are a speaking God. Help us to hear what you're saying, to obey what you're saying, to have the courage this Christmas to show and to spread your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chris. Well, do stand, and we'll conclude our service with our last carol.
Just close with a blessing. From the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time. this Christmas, now and forevermore. Amen. 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 Always say at the end of a service, is God, if you feel God has spoken to you, don't leave this place without sealing it, either in private prayer or with somebody else from the leadership team or prayer team here. But bless you. Have a great week. Don't forget to sign the Christmas card. Don't forget to hang around, chat to somebody who you feel you know less in the building and say hi. Wish each other a happy Christmas, and we'll look forward to seeing you for the travelling nativity later, and then next Sunday for Christmas Eve. Bless you.